We're now in a closed session here on the 21st of May. Mr. Hamilton.
So the big issue is CRS, so we might as well just dig into it and discuss. Just to provide an update to the trustees, Bob and Ron have been involved in these discussions, so this will be a little bit of a repeat for you. So what has happened since our last board meeting is that we reached out and met with Paul and his legal counsel, CRS and his legal counsel, Jim Jenkins. During that meeting, they wanted to talk about proposals about what we'd be willing to pay to settle all this. We talked about the fact that we needed to see and have a better understanding of what we actually have and whether it would be reviewable and usable to our engineer. And that's really kind of, I think, the whole impetus behind what I'm interested in and, you know, what course of action I would recommend for the trustees to take is whether we need to continue to pursue this. Right now, Mark has been able to meet with them and receive a copy of information involving task five of the well contract. We'll just call it the well contract. It's an addendum actually to a master contract that we didn't even have, that Paul had, I guess, and I didn't know about until we were actually in our meeting with Jim Jenkins. So he's received that. He's received information showing that task five is complete, and then he just received, my understanding is just recently, you know, on Friday, that you received information regarding task six.
Yeah, so, and to put it more generally, they were willing to turn over to us the data for the well, but not for the next project. They said they would let me go down. Am I jumping ahead?
Nope, that's okay. Good. So we have information regarding the one
right
project.
So this, the way we left the meeting was, we'll give you the stuff for the well, but the next project, no, we're not going to give you any of that until you pay us. So they gave me a lot of the information from task five that we needed. And then while I was there, I asked them about the final well design. So they gave me a fire stick, basically, that had the electronic data on it, including their you know, weekly progress reports and their inspection reports, and they gave me the trays of their cutting analysis and all those things. And then I asked them about task six, whether they had done anything, and Paul immediately said yes. And Mark said, well, you know, and Paul says 90% done that. And Mark said, well, they still will probably have to do some stuff because I can't finish task six until I know how much water's coming out. So I asked Mark to email it to me that day. That was Wednesday, right? To email it to me that day. I ended up getting it on Friday, but all he gave me that Friday was this piece that I dropped in the water. So I got this finally that Friday afternoon, and I think I looked at Jim's response to you, and I clarified a few things because it wasn't accurate. And then Monday, I got this. Now, on task six. So someone else has suggested that maybe they're working on this stuff and that's why they didn't want to turn it over. And I didn't really want to believe that, Bob, until I got this on Friday and the rest of it on Monday. And so
put that in the same water container that went in.
So I do think that the reason that they've been stonewalling a little bit might be because I don't want to speculate, but so I got part of task six is completed, but of course we have to finish it after we know how much water we're getting out of the well. And then the well construction report and pump design, we will we will do that. They may have, let's see, let me just see here.
They sent that to you as a hard copy or as an electronic copy?
This was electronic. I
well, asked. We should be able to go back and see version histories in it to see when they were actually working on it.
What's interesting is I just said, well, if you've done task six, why aren't you giving it to me on that Fire Stick? And he said, oh, I'll email it to you. And then the excuse on Friday was, or Thursday was, well, I emailed it from my cell phone and it didn't work. And so I finally emailed it to you from my office. And that was just this. And then I got this and this in three separate emails attachments Monday evening. So, you know, I'll be able to come back to you guys later and say we used 50% of task six, which is fortunately only $2,600. We were able to use, so I'll be able to recommend to you how much this helped us, but I can't do that right now. As far as the well construction report and pump design, Paul claimed that they've done some of that too, but I haven't seen that. I don't know that you really could do all of that. Paul also questioned while I was there, he didn't think that Don Barnett would allow Scott to produce the final well design and the well construction report. But Scott seems perfectly comfortable with it, and it's because you had him out there last year, and I'm glad you did, because Scott's very comfortable with that well. It's not like an engineer stepping in stamping another engineer's work. So that's where we are with... We have an update. We're moving forward with the well. We talked to Kyle Whittison. He's getting us all of his data. Working with them, we really don't need anything else at this point. As far as
the well,
yeah.
So this brings up another issue with respect to how we deal with CRS, because getting Mark the information is key to helping us tackle what we're, you know, what position we are in as far as what we paid and what we actually received, right? The deliverables. And so now we have to deal with the pump station and water line addendum, which actually never was materialized into a contract. It was just they gave us a bid basically on what it was going to cost, and it never was formalized into an agreement. And so Daniel's gone through, and unfortunately with the well is broken down in their billings into like three basic categories, or three or four.
Three plus one that was outside the scope.
There's three plus the one they added at the very end, which is outside of the scope of the agreement. And then the other one is actually done more at in a task level, but the issue that we really have is, what do we actually have? And we've been dealing with that this entire time, and that's why we met with them, and that's why we tried to get this information to Mark. The meeting that was supposed to have, and it's never actually materialized, was to give him at least an idea so that he could review a day or two at their offices and see what they have with respect to the booster station and the water line. And I mean, I guess the issue is, do we really want him to do that now? Is that even, they're offering and saying they can make it happen, he just needs to let them know a time. The benefit that we would have then is that we could actually in the audit plug through and say, well, this is what we believe percentage wise is done on this task. We've already paid you this amount, which is 90%, and we really only have 50% that's usable.
So, you know, when I go out to supper and I pay $40 for a steak dinner, and they bring me the potato and maybe some carrots, and I've had some salad with those fancy beets on it, really doesn't do me a whole heck of a lot of good 30 minutes later when they bring the steak out. We're also dealing with some time thing here too. I could care crocking less about where they are. Well, I'm sorry, I'm out of trustees. But I'm sufficiently pissed.
I'm done. I've already eaten the carrots and the potato. I'm ready to go home now. So.
Me too.
Full charge.
I've been there.
So
he sat right in that chair right there and promised to deliver all this crap to me. Held me up a Minchner-sized stack of papers that it could have been Little Red Riding Hood. I didn't see where it was from where you were sitting, Blake.
I understand.
You were politely excused, or banished to the couch outside. But that's as close as I got to him, was from that seat to there. So I showed you the reports. Judas, So that's what I think. Where we need, but you guys may have a different opinion about this.
I have the same opinion, and I believe that they probably are in panic mode now, installing, trying to finish work to make it look like they can justify their billable hours.
We don't need their crap.
Yeah.
Tell them it's too late. We've already had the salad. We're done.
And we're hearing from our engineer that he's got what he needs to move forward. To waste any additional time going down there on this Easter egg hunt is pointless.
We got, we only got a limited window up there to build and to do all this stuff.
So let me make sure that that's clear. Like, during the meeting, I pushed to get the information regarding the well, because that is the number one priority, right? And that's, we got that information to Mark, what information they have. So we've done that. The question now is to have a full audit. We really don't know what they have. We could zero it out. I guess you could put that.
We're trying to take a little simplistic approach of saying, okay, we know what the tasks are, 1 through 9. Just generally, what percent of each task is done? Mark, I know you're not really wanting to speculate on that, but just estimating for purposes of guiding the trustees on the well project, which is tasks 1 through 9, are they 100% done with tasks 1 through 4?
I think they're
done 1 through 4. And on task 5, provide engineering on-site inspection during drilling. This on-site inspection is sort of the time that you spend up there with the well drillers. Unfortunately, you're paying Scott and myself to be up there still. So I've been up there, Scott's been up there. And so we're actually doing some of task 5, which is absolutely necessary. We have to be up there. So I don't think I would pay out task 5 yet. I wouldn't pay 100% for task 5 just because I can't say it's completed, because it's obvious we're up there taking care of the well drillers. And what we are doing is on-site inspection, and we're doing the tasks that are in here. So
how far along are the well drillers?
The well is drilled. It's just not, the contract isn't completed. So it's really, I guess, legally, and I'll just throw this out there, playing devil's advocate, you could say, well, this is on-site inspection during drilling. The drilling is completed. But where in here is the on-site work for the rest of this? Now, to me, that drilling, you can't literally determine it as just drilling. It's this contract to drill this well and develop it. So
to actually run the pump test.
Well, yeah. We get to a point where your drilling's done, and then you start to clean it, and you airlift, and you do these other things, and you do the plumbless alignment, and then you test it, because all this stuff is usually right on the hills, and it's very quick. So whatever time we're spending up there, I kind of think it should be coming out of task 5, to be honest.
6, 7, 8, 9.
You and Daniel, I assume, are going to be able to codify this based on what you drill down on this and give him some numbers to work with.
So that's,
and then he's going to be able to put together a package that basically shows a discrepancy between what we've already paid for.
Well, that's
what
I wanted to
give
you a high level idea of what we're talking about.
Why don't we just do the high level right now, where we are on each task.
And let me help you out. I'm guessing that we might bill 10 to 15% of 5, and then task 6 maybe 50% of task six, which is a very small number. Well, construction report, I would say we're going to do 95% of that. Well house design, 100%, 100% of construction management of the well house. So that's...
So maybe, you said maybe 20% of task five? Is that what you said, 15 to 20%?
I would say that we will need 20% to 25% of that.
So if I put 100% on tasks one through four,
yeah.
80% for this is what CRS is allegedly done with, just for discussion purposes.
Let's say 75% on five.
75 on five, 50% on six, 5% on seven, 0 and 0 on 8 and 9. That would mean that they are done with $55,065 of the contract, right? Using those percentages, right?
Okay.
That's what they would be due under the contract for their progress, right? If that's the progress is 100%, 75%, 50%, the numbers
Got
we just
it.
Talked about, okay? They have billed on this project $128,769. They still want to collect $25,933. So that leaves them basically having been overpaid. What's that? $47,771.
No, your time and your time.
And
all of our time.
Mark's time.
And Mark's time and
yeah.
the
in
district.
Figuring out this.
For $150,000 will go away. But that check ought to be wired tomorrow
well,
morning.
Well, that's just on the well.
To us.
100% on the source reductions case.
Yeah.
Well, the source reduction, they want another $27,000.
They brought that up as being uncontroversial and that we owed
just
them.
A, oh, by the way, on top of the 95.
I think the attorney walked away understanding that there was perhaps another side to the story.
Yeah, that was obvious.
Walked out the
that
door
was
came
obvious.
Back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so and on the other project that we have received nothing for and that they don't actually have a contract for, they've billed $61,349.50. They've been paid $46,795 of that, so they think they're only owed $14,000, but you know that would be an overpayment right now if we get nothing and they have no contract of $46,795 on that.
Which project is that?
The water line.
That's
water
the water line authorization.
Blue, green, yellow
yeah.
thing.
Yeah. Well, the colors are expensive.
So that would bring the total over billings by them right now to just on what they billed to almost $95,000.
Which is what he's asking for.
Yeah, and he's asking for a little under that. So you have. And that doesn't include the $27,000. That's just on the two. So right now, you guys, I would say, are in a position where he's overbilled you, and he owes you more than what any amounts that you potentially have outstanding to him are, which include some inspection services, some sewer survey, some subdivision review, and some resident engineer.
Wow.
Trustees?
You're a forensic accountant. You see how this rolls. Is this fraud, this scheme that
well,
we're
that's,
being exposed?
That's a legal question, I believe, for the attorneys
well,
to argue
does
and the
it,
judges
it,
to decide.
We know that what's going on begins with an F, but is it fraud? I mean, what's going on here? Is this
well,
just
it,
ridiculous?
Yeah,
or what?
I mean, I don't, it doesn't make any sense, to have this without any contract and to have this amount of work billed on progress billings when you don't have that level of work done. It's highly suspicious, I guess the best term that I can use is a forensic accountant.
Here's my problem. I see if we go to court, we're going to have to take them to court to do anything, and it's going to cost us a ton of money to take them to court, and what we're going to get is questionable. My proposal is let them take us to court for the additional money if they want it. And we can lay out our case in front of the judge and perhaps we will get awarded damages. But if we take them to court, I don't see that as a very good option. And that's just because I've been to court before and you might win, but it's a pyrrhic victory because you've spent just as much in court fees and attorney fees in the long run as you get back, unless we're looking for vengeance.
Well, and I don't know, Blake, I mean, how this fits in, so issues with...
And Blake can probably help me out.
They have a bid amount, or they have a set amount for this project, and they've already paid him, overpaid him almost $48,000 on this project. Where does that come from for finishing this project? You know, that's a whole different issue.
Yeah, so I think the first question, I think it's already been answered, but I want to make sure. We're not wanting Mark to spend any more time going down and looking for information on the booster station water line, is that correct?
That's correct.
You good with that, Mark? You think that's just a waste of time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because they're claiming in their professional services agreement that they have ownership of the documents and therefore you can't have them. They brought that up in the meeting. It doesn't mean anything because they expect you to pay for something that they won't give you. That clause is fine if they give you a product that you can use through the final product that a contractor can bid on and use, and then you're done. They keep the original, is basically
what they're saying.
But they're interpreting that differently. You got to pay us for what we've done, but we're not going to show it to you until you pay it. Well, it's worthless to you unless you have every bit of it.
Yeah. So that answers the first question. And the second thing I think that needs to happen is now, with that question being answered, is Daniel to finish putting this together and give me the 100% calculation, and then I can draft basically a letter to them saying here's where we're at, and then here's the solution, and we've run that by the entire board before we send it out.
Okay.
And the solution, then we can have the discussion on the solution. The solution could be as straight just walk away, or we're not going to pay you anything. If you want this money, you're going to have to sue us, and at that point we're going to assert these counterclaims, or we're going to sue you for this amount.
I got a question. So what kind of brought this all to a head is really these billings and the two billings that are same dates, changed all the numbers around, moved everything. I think that's a big part of something. I guess we're talking about it, but really not highlighting it. But the fact that they submitted bills and then modified the bills and where the money went and everything, that seems like a big problem to me. It's kind of almost like what Jim was saying. But how are we going to handle that? Is that going to be, I mean, right now we're just talking about here's what you owe us, here's what we owe you, here's what you owe us, whatever. But the fact that they know that they had a bill that they submitted to us, and then like, oh shoot, that's not working out, because it looks like we have money out here that we've collected for that we can't account for, so we're going to move everything around and make the numbers match in some way so that we look good. That's the part that just seems really wrong and fraudulent to me that I think we need to deal with, or we need to go after or something.
Yeah, so when we were talking about, I mean, the ultimate goal is dollars and cents, right? Like, I mean, it's what you're willing to live with, either a walk away or you're going to pay us this amount, or if you want this amount. In laying out our case to them, we can definitely raise that, and that's like a vehicle to get to the end result, which is that we can claim that they, you know, in their billings committed fraud or misrepresentation by saying this and then moving that number to, you know, a different area.
That's what really started.
So that's the kind of causes of action we can bring.
Yeah. I mean, I think if we create an environment where we can educate their attorney, if you will, on the truly silly stuff that's gone on, then I think we're in a position probably to reach some sort of negotiated settlement. But independently of that, the DOPL issue has always been kicking around in my mind. This is unethical practice, and we need to file a complaint with DOPL. And so does your report, Daniel, come in? How does that all sort of fit together? I mean, Paul's not behaving ethically here, you know, aside from behaving stupidly and all those other things we can think of. It's just an unethical practice.
So I think that's the message that we send as well in the letter, is that, you know, we're going to pursue all avenues, including, you know, DOPL here if we can't reach a resolution. I mean,
okay.
I do think the one thing that was good about having the meeting is that I believe the attorney, Jim, is reasonable. I don't think he's, I think he's been given a certain story by Paul, but once it's clear that that can't be supported, like the source reduction issue, Paul told him to raise that as being, in, you know, that's not even
contestable.
Yeah, it's indisputable that that's owed. And as soon as he heard the pushback, it went out in the hall. Next thing you know, that's being completely dropped. And they don't even want to talk about that. Daniel started trying to talk about that again, and that became pretty clear. So I think, you know, he's reasonable. And if we put it to him, you know, he's going to make this situation one that we can actually resolve.
Is St. Gopal's going to do anything?
Yeah, I don't know.
I talked to a couple people there, and they didn't seem very helpful. It was kind of go, yeah, we're kind of licensing, watch people's licenses, but
no, they can impose fines, they can do a lot of stuff.
They can, but do you think they will?
Absolutely. So I know Paul's on the radar already.
So you've had some experience with that, and they were responsive.
Yeah. Are they? Because now, they're kind of roped to open Mark.
One Doppel, that's in it. It's weird that they're doing that to you, Roy, because they're supposed to be monitoring us for ethical conformance with the Engineers Act. And you have two huge things hanging over his head right now. Number one, how ethical has all of this been, serving as a manager, having his firm do work without signed contracts, different, there's several ethical issues there. The biggest one being this false, this invoice that was generated and obviously deceptive. You've got these things that are big that the Doppel committee would definitely hear. And I agree with Michael. Most of us are terrified of that. Paul doesn't seem to be afraid of it. But it scares me to death. Ethics is something that none of us want to lose our license over words. I mean, it's how we maintain our livelihood. You don't want to suspend it, you don't want anything. And so, Doppel's supposed to be policing that very strongly in all licenses. So, they're not supposed to be a passive group, and I've heard several instances where they're pretty aggressive. So, it surprises me that they treated you that way.
But you're licensed as an individual, not as a firm, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So each
he's retiring, so that's probably why he has no fear.
And I think let's just be realistic here. His health looks. I mean, he looks like death when he walks into the room.
Yeah.
He was acting as an engineer for his firm, and then all the other engineers that worked on the project. So there's a lot at stake for this company. In my opinion, there's a lot at stake for this company.
No, so each one of them that had any involvement in it probably become under scrutiny.
My surveyor was fined thousands of dollars for forgetting to put a stamp on something that was never submitted. In my opinion, he shouldn't have been fined anything. It was a glorified napkin drawing, but it cost him a lot of time and energy and money. So this is huge.
But you got to be careful. I mean, we in opening the Doppel, I mean, I'm fine with certain specific ethical representations that or misrepresentations he's made. But I've had this discussion already with some of you. There's a can of worms here that I don't know how much we want to open, right? I mean,
but you could use it as a threat to get a settlement.
So what are the potential downsides that you're referring to? What are those?
Well, the fact that the county is also was, you know, engaged in hiring Paul, and the fact that Summit was engaged in hiring Paul, and you know what current or probably more realistically what past county officials knew and didn't do, and I if we start going down that path, that's, you know, you just have to be aware of that and making enemies with people that we may not want to make enemies with.
Just keep it limited to these projects where we've identified performance inadequacies and billing irregularities. Is that a fair representation
and
of where you are?
Yeah, specific things that we know that he's clearly misrepresented, and not just getting to this general, you were as the manager here, you had, you know, conflict of interest, those kind of things. I think that protects us from going down that path.
What is the just ballpark magnitude of our ask? What's it going to look like?
I mean, he's thinking we owe him $92,000, and he really owes us $70,000, so there's $150,000 swing between where we're at. So.
And I mean, because there's a few things that we do know that we do owe him, but I think they're completely offset by a large margin.
So he'll pay those or he can consider
them. Don't pay those now, and I think that's what we ultimately come to and say, look, okay. And I think there, I can't remember what it was, $12,000 for, there was some time for Jed.
There was some time for Jed and the inspections and it was an easement and...
So there was a couple of things that we probably
surveying,
would owe him for, but we're not going to pay him those and say, look, I mean, that
doesn't come out of the $70,000 he owes us.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I've already included that.
I've
included those. It's about $24,000 in offsets against that $70,000. If it wasn't those wasn't there, he owes $90,000.
So I'm just trying to understand the full picture, because when you're in a situation like this, there's always the unknown. And
of course, they're going to push back, and their
reaction is going to look like.
Yeah, of course, they're going to push back and say, well, no, that's not right, because on this booster station water line, we actually do have deliverables. You just haven't come down. And
the problem there is they don't have a signed contract, right, for them.
That is the problem. They're going to argue the equitable doctrines, like, I mean, if you didn't think we had a contract, then why did you pay us this amount of money? And it's, you know, you've already paid this amount of money, so it's clear that you understood the terms of the agreement. And even though we don't have a signed agreement, we've got an agreement.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just trying to... So on his side, I'm assuming he would carry insurance, so... Is this something that a typical professional liability or errors and omissions clause in your insurance would cover if a claim came against you as an engineer? Or?
No, it's for mistakes that you make in your design.
Yeah.
And
so that
boy, you do everything you can to avoid that. You'll pay $100,000 out of your own pocket before you'll draw on that because your rates go up so much.
Like car insurance.
So how liquid
like
is?
Work.
I mean,
I've got
liquidity.
I'm sorry. I got it.
Not very good right now.
Very good right now.
So
in trouble.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jim. So talk later.
So the next step is the letter. Is that correct?
Yeah. So the,
okay.
So the next step, that's sounds like Daniel's letter. Pretty close to being complete now with this information from Mark. So he can give me the data, and I can use the data to put together a letter. I'll circulate the letter to all the trustees before we send it out. And, you know, this will be our response. Jim just sent me an email yesterday saying, you know, there's $24,000 or whatever that's undisputed. And
it's still disputed.
So I think
it's
just
like crazy.
So what happens, what's our course of action when he comes back and says pound sand? What are we going
to
do then?
Yeah,
well,
that's
the options at the end of the day, and that's your call. I mean, I think Ron is, and there's a couple different vehicles here. I mean, I don't think they're going to, if we lay this out to Jim, he's going to say, yeah, you don't want to sue them for the $90,000 you say they owe you, because they're going to come back and counterclaim you, and you're going to be involved in this long, protracted litigation, and I don't think it's worth it.
Right.
So that's to me, that seems the most reasonable avenue. Which is that we just say, look, we're not paying you anything. You actually owe us this amount of money, and this is why. So if you're good, you know, we're done talking. We don't need any other information from you. And, you know, we're happy to enter into kind of a settlement agreement where it's a walk away, and you go your way, and we go our way, and we sign releases, and we're done.
But do you file a complaint with Apple, or you just let that go too?
That's up to you to decide. I mean,
do we have an ethical responsibility or even a statutory responsibility as a public entity to identify a bad actor in the community? I mean, he is. I mean, I hate to say it like that.
Well, that's fine. I mean, we don't have to, the ethical thing we can put in the letter or not. I mean, we don't even have to address it, and we can just go to...
I mean, without opening up the
right.
can of worms, I mean, is there a tap dance we could do?
Yeah, we can reach what I'm saying is we can reach an agreement that's silent on that issue, and then we just proceed with Doppel after we've reached the agreement.
That's fair enough.
Because Doppel will do their investigation without really having to involve us.
Right.
They'll get a whole lot.
Okay.
They'll take the complaint, and then they'll investigate.
I think it's a safe play because if this ever were to get out in any way, there's even a legislative audit, which could happen with this entity anytime, they'll want to know that you did something responsible if you caught something that looked like a fraud, and you're protecting your customers and your business associates and stuff. Hey.
All of us are customers in this room right now, the four trustees.
So my thought would be this, then the letter should not address the Doppel issues. We've already kind of raised that with him, so he knows that that's out there. But the letter won't address the Doppel issues. It'll just address the dollars and cents and the fact that we believe they actually owe us, and we're willing to do maybe a walk away if that's what the trustees want to do. And then it's silent on the Doppel issues, and then we just proceed on the Doppel.
Can you mention the Doppel issue in a conversation to his attorney? And not as a threat or anything like that, but it's something that the board is considering.
Here's my inner Paul channeling right now. I've seen this guy in action. Once he hears this threat to his integrity and his honesty,
right,
versus the what we know to be the truth, Cameron's going to get a phone call from him questioning the veracity of that data and how we did this or didn't do that, or have you considered this, that, or the other thing. And the source reduction scheme will get, and all of a sudden, magically, there's going to be other concerns that regulatory agents are made aware of. That's the Paul I know.
So we should just wait on
the stick with the dollars and cents, as he says, and then see where that trail goes, and then adhere to our responsibilities as a public entity. I think we have to do that every single time, because that protects us, that protects our customers. That's the right thing to do.
And bottom line, if the dollar and cents goes nowhere, then you're in a position of, well, they have to make the first move, which is they have to file the lawsuit, and then you bring the counterclaims.
Exactly. I actually think there will be an intermediate step. I think what will happen is they'll finally go, okay, here's our water line and booster pump data. I think that will be their first step. They'll finally hand it over to us.
And what we'll probably find in doing that is we'll take a look at it, you know, instead of being zero, it'll be like 30%. And so our 90,000 will shrink to 30,000, and it's a whatever.
So that's a course of action. Do we have other stuff for closed session? Are we done with this? I mean, I sense that we're in a good spot. Anybody?
Yeah, I think we're good. I want to talk to you a little bit about our employee. Do you want to do it with everybody else is here?
Or no.
Yeah. You guys don't even have enough employees. What is this?
We're a three-person entity. You have a lot of employee drama.
Got an issue, get a tissue,
well,
right?
I'm going to start charging you triple to go to the person's house and fire them if I have to do that again.
You get to meet Willie the dog.
That's right, I did get to meet Willie the dog. I got to, you know.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Nice meeting you.
Thanks for your efforts, Daniel.
We got to see the ski wine rack.
Really nice meeting you.
Yeah. Thanks again for your
Carrie?
Thank you. Talk to you.
I didn't eat out that jar, that gummy bar.
You got a contact high.
Do you want me to take that back with you, or do you want me to mail it?
I agree.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Just gummies. It was just gummies.
I was just going to be out for the other, but I probably should get approval from the board to retract my email that I sent to the well driller yesterday.
Oh, well. Email should be like handgun registrations, a cooling off period, right?
I'm locked out. I looked at the rain this morning. Well, that was a big
thing. Let me tell you, press the long button.
Mark, great work. Great work.
Oh, I didn't really mean that. Sorry. Okay, who else? Oh, we've got the principals here. I'm going to talk a little bit about this employee issue, just so we know where, you know, some of the background. It's no surprise 6 months from now.
And a couple of you guys know kind of what's going on, but hired Jed. He was doing good on a lot of stuff, but he's just had an issue with the use of the truck, so we brought him in, talked to him several times about not using it because it's a public entity truck. It's a tax exempt fuel, and there's all kinds of tax ramifications by doing that. But he just was pretty much defiant. So finally brought him back in again. Said, "Don't take the trucks out of the area. Keep them in the area. They're public vehicles. Everybody owns it. They all know what's going on. You'll be seen someday. We're using that truck for private use. what do we get? Takes the crane truck to Salt Lake, and somebody that I know goes, hey, there's a powder mountain truck down here at 123rd South this time in the morning. What are you guys doing? It's an expensive commuter car, isn't it? God, are you kidding me? So I brought him in and had a talk, told him what he was doing, and he says, I'm sorry, I won't do that again. It's like, how many times I got to tell you? Don't take the trucks. They're not private trucks. They're for personal or for business use only. Anyway, so we turned on the OnStar on all the trucks, so both mine and his, because he kept assuming that he was going because the mileage looked funny, and we kind of stacking up miles and all kinds of weird
watching
things.
Watching the gas card.
Yeah, watching the gas card, and we were stacking on all kinds of expenses, and sure enough, after we turned it on, he's down Salt Lake, off and on, he's out the airport, he's... I don't know. It's like, I guess he just doesn't get it. I didn't really think he was that kind of a person, but even last weekend, he still, as many times I said, you will get fired if you do this. Still taking a truck and driving around. And he doesn't know we're watching it, so we're just building history of him taking off. And he sometimes gets back, sometimes he'll sign in other places on his electronic time card. But
he's being tracked that way, too.
Yeah. So, anyway... you know, my thought is, I guess, to just let him go because you just can't have that. It creates two issues. One, of course, misuse of a public vehicle. Mm-hmm. The tax issue is a problem. I ran into a situation back many years ago where an employee was taking a truck like that, kept saying, don't do it, don't do it. Okay, well, we'll work out a deal with you where we will charge you mileage. And then the tax commission goes, in one of the meetings with the Special District Association, goes, oh, by the way, if one of your employees is driving the vehicle and you should be collecting taxes from him and turning those over to us. His tax evasion. So now the district's caught up with the middle of the state tax commission over tax fraud. I told him this whole story, and I said, this is what's going to happen. It's dangerous. It's dangerous for us. It creates a problem for the trustees of Carrie and I. If we don't do this right, we're in trouble. Mm-hmm. I said that it's not a private entity. You cannot drive these like you would a private vehicle. They're paying taxes on their fuel. They're paying taxes on their trucks. We're not. And citizens know this. The state knows it. It turns really bad. I said it's just it's a whole different set of rules that you have to live by here in working for a public entity. And he just still continues to take off in it. So we just let things go on. And this leads into the storage unit. Before we terminate him, if we do, he's got tools and hoses and equipment and everything.
Snowmobile,
else
everything.
In his garage. And we got to get that out. I found out Evan's still got a few things. Got to get that out of his place. I've got some things in mine, nothing major, but it's just a couple of tools. But that whole idea, and Greg Chambers has got our meter boxes, is because we don't have anywhere to put anything. That's why we need to put it in a storage unit.
So I got storage over here. It's in a fence there. It's in Mill Street. I actually had storage lockers. He gives me one. You can have one.
No, we might do that. I think the one thing we were considering initially as we started with the storage unit is a little office space so we can say, look, Jed,
get out of your
and
house.
Or anybody else, get out of your house, be up on some place working. This is where you keep your stuff, your tools, your equipment, your paperwork.
And the vehicle.
And the vehicles, maybe leave the truck up there if we can for a short period of time until we figure out where we're going to be parking long term. But it shows the need for permanent home for our tools and equipment and shops and everything else.
Are we talking about letting Jed go?
Mm-hmm.
So it's
you missed the whole thing.
You missed the whole story about what happened. So
dust off your skills, the drive to the house.
The house.
So, I mean, here's
hey, Willie. Nice to meet you. It's a really good thing.
So
it's a happy day.
Yeah, so he's been using the trucks, even though we told vehicle to run around and do private business or run around and do what he's going to do, and we've told him a million times not to, and recorded it and had him in here and logged it and written him up on it and everything else. He still takes off in it.
He spends the weekends in Salt Lake.
So he doesn't tell us. And the other problem with that is if he's in Salt Lake and I don't know about it and we have a blowout up there and it's 2 hours for him to get back, it's too late. Bad things happen. That's why I told him. I said, you got to let me know where you're at. Well, he doesn't. He just disappears. That's a big problem, I'm telling you. If we have a sewer overflow,
where do you live?
He's got a house up in
Houston. Place up there, but he's going back down. I think he's...
His old home that he moved from, because he's going through a divorce, is down in Draper off of 123rd and 7th East, and that's where he stays on the weekend. He goes down there and stays, and then he comes back up here. And I can pull up the maps. I track that truck every, I can track it right now. It's on my phone.
Oh, anyway, that's what.
What do you want to do, Roy? You want to post that position in anticipation of a?
Well, we've actually put it
we've
out
pulled
there.
It out
yeah,
there
I
a
saw
couple
that on the
times,
website.
And we haven't
Mark,
had anybody.
Mark had just a good suggestion about possibly sharing an employee too.
Yeah.
You have?
So I talked to Danny, who's my lift maintenance manager, and he's actually down an employee that we never replaced, and so he's a little lukewarm on the idea. So I'm going to see what comes back, you know, after he's had a weekend to think about it and see what he says, but. There's one guy that is a great employee that we may be able to offer as part-time outside of his normal working hours, but Danny's just really reluctant right now. He's like, listen, we've got, I mean, you know, we've got years of deferred preventative maintenance on our lifts that they're just finally starting to get caught up on. He said, I don't want to take a step back, so...
No. Years of deferred maintenance?
Really?
You're starting to scare me now.
Oh, yeah.
They're inspected every year.
Okay.
The FAA says we can fly with this, this inconsistency in training, so don't worry about it. We'll
I'm
be
just
all good.
Kidding, boy.
Well, so that's the issue. And Blakey didn't hit on the story, but it is about misuse of public equipment. And he's been warned plenty of times and written up and everything else, but he's just defined on it. So what do we do? Will you want to tolerate that, or do we end it? I mean, that's what it's going to come down to, and that's what I'm saying is we've got to tell him that we can't do this. It is absolutely dangerous on an emergency situation. It's dangerous on a tax situation. The public already knows that he's doing it, and they're telling me already that's bad. If they're starting to see it...
You said the public's saying it. Who's...
He got a text message one day.
Yeah, from a guy that happened to be down there that knew the vehicle. And he goes like, what is a Powder Mountain vehicle doing down here this time in the morning?
7 a.m.
Yeah.
No, he had the crane truck.
He had
it has
crane
Powder
truck.
Mountain right on the side of it.
But all the other trucks, I mean, we've got the sticker
I got
put
stickers.
On them. Deuce got those, so we're going to have stickers on them all. But but people watch. I mean, they're always watching. And I could explain to him that all of the trustees and all the people live up there own you. They own your truck. They own everything you're doing. I said, you have to be careful what you're doing. They're paying your bills.
I could just go back to Evan because he's so high that he's not.
I know, and actually, we're thinking that.
We brought that up.
We can find him
anytime.
We already
brought that up. That was it. Well, in all honesty, here's the conversation we had. We hired Jed for construction management. We can use Mark for construction management. So that takes away half of that. And Evan, every time we've called him, he has busted his butt since he got. He has been out there busting, doing everything that we asked him to do. And I said, even if we use him part-time just to monitor and pay him for a couple of hours, it beats
what he was home all
now.
The time anyway, like, but at least he's not really paying him for
what he's doing.
So what you're saying is we really don't need an engineer to do that work any longer.
Now that we've got Mark,
we're
paying
for
somebody right now
for
what we're having Jed do.
Right.
Okay.
He was going to do stuff that Mark's going to
do. That Mark's
going to
have to do.
We'll pay it to Mark.
So is your plan then to hire somebody and then let Jed go?
We've got the notice out. We're looking.
We've had the notice out for a long time.
My big concern, even if I let him go, coverage, making sure
that's why we came to you.
I mean, Evan actually would probably work for a while.
Not as an employee, but he would work.
Yeah.
No, he's not coming
back.
We would use him for other.
He could even be fine contracting some stuff out to have him do it. I think he'd be fine that way. But we have to have a full-time employee. They've got to be on call. They've got to be doing things all the day long. You know, somebody watching that stuff. So we just got to keep looking.
What kind of experience does that require? Because I know a couple guys. Did Casey Olson ever work for you?
You need to be certified water and sewer. There's a certification process.
We can get them certified. They don't have to come on automatically. You have, according to the way our policies are written right now, you have 6 months?
A year, 6 months
to a year to become certified. That's why we thought of Evan, because he has certifications, and we could use him part-time to at least monitor. If the skate is going off, he's right there. He knows what to do. You know, until the construction season happens, the construction comes in with Mark. So in all honesty, you don't need a full-time, we do need one, but it's not that to take care of this. We could survive without him and just do it that way, but the certifications can come in because I can sign them up and half of them are done online.
Well, and also you can be, the entity can be protected by hiring a certified operator, which Aqua.
Aqua, they do that
they
for dozens
of water
districts. They have
their water sewer certified operators that are top level operators, and they will come in and do all of the regulatory stuff for you.
Do they have an hourly on them, or?
Actually, I asked him to send me one. I haven't seen it, but
we did inquire.
I can get one.
Charges $150 an hour.
No, he busted it down to $75 when. But there may be something that we could work with. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, but no, it went from $150 to $75.
Yeah, if you only use him a few hours,
a couple hours or something.
A couple hours a day, where he just runs the system, looks at everything. You'd probably be okay. We still need the full-time employee
because you
want somebody that's trained to do everything that you want to do and their certifications and everything else.
But he
is really a board issue, or isn't this something that you can handle within your wheelhouse? I mean, you have the authority under the rules and regulations to do that.
Mm-hmm. I do.
And I'm comfortable with letting you handle it.
So that'd be fine. I think the biggest thing we wanted to do when this came up is, you know, the question of why you need a storage unit, what happened to Jed? It's nice to talk about it in here.
Oh,
in the my plan was to terminate him.
As soon as we got everything
moved.
I
think we have to. I don't think you can deal with that.
If you need a place to dump stuff, I have a place. Or you get to have that storage container now. That could be it.
Yeah, so we've got it temporarily anyway up there.
Okay.
My concern was if I just said, hey, by the way, you're done. Oh, by the way, I got all your stuff in your garage, mm-hmm. and you come up and get it. It's just horribly uncomfortable. So we need to go get all of our stuff and put it somewhere.
What do you have Blake for?
You need somebody with a gun, you need to pack it.
We might use postal units somewhere or rent one on your property or something.
I think you get all the stuff from him, you put it in the storage unit, tell him that you want the truck parked there, you know, I mean the weather turning, and then, you know, you try to find somebody here in the next month. If you can't find anyone, then you maybe need to move on it, but I think that solves your problem with him driving the truck around if it's parked up there.
Yeah, and that was the whole point.
You can start parking it up there. I mean, hopefully that, you know, I know we had some snow here just recently, but imagine you can start parking up here next week or two.
Yeah,
because he's got the crane truck in his truck garage too, so we want to move both of them up there and get him, get everything out
got
of his
it.
House.
Yeah.
I have three parking spaces up there. That way it doesn't take your parking spaces. It's asphalt.
This time of year, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, you know, many people need to park in the summer, kind of, right?
Yeah.
So that would be a better place probably to park is down by the Timberline Lodge someplace. Is that what you're talking about?
No, I've got Powder Ridge, right, I don't know if you know the second entrance I have.
Mm-hmm.
I've got, it's a paved parking lot that Powder Ridge so kindly paid for me on my land.
Do you have somebody that's up there all the time in your facility, your night and day, or just daytime stuff?
Daytime.
Okay. And then is there any desire to do a separation agreement so we don't know?
We have got everything with the at-will. I have got three pages of everything that's been said because he's been brought in here. So we've actually got dates, times, what was said, how it was said. So in all honesty, it's recorded.
Still in his probationary period?
Yeah.
6 months. He's still in his probationary period.
That,
so here you go. It's a no-brainer.
It is.
When does
it's a done
months,
deal.
When does the 6 months end?
He started actually the last week of December, first week of January. So you're talking June, right about now.
So you get the stuff and have everything up there and then
be done.
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay. Does anybody else have anything else that they want to discuss in closed session? Any items that might meet the closed session requirements?
Did everybody get a performance review for the year? I would just ask that because I think it's required in our procedures for everybody to get a performance review. I did Carrie.
Carrie hasn't. I haven't given her one. I need to.
And who does your for it? That's just the question.
No idea.
Do you know Bob?
No.
I have no idea. I suspect your chairman.
I'll give you four thumbs up.
Yeah.
I only got two thumbs.
I just got the review, I guess. Yeah. Actually, you get my review every meeting because my life could be gone any month.
You're a godsend, Roy. I will say that.
Follow the policies and procedures.
We had actually talked about it when we started together, because we gave Evan one at the end of the year, and we figured, you know, with him doing the evaluations at the end of the year, we would do them every, so it would fit in with the budget, and when we got ready to do the budget, any raises, anything like that. So that's kind of what we discussed, was at the end of the every year, do that, if the budget fits in with it, and then it starts in January. But, I mean, if there's something different that we need to do, then we need to, you know, figure that out. But that's kind of what we talked about with the employees, was he would do that every year.
Doesn't come on at the first of the year.
No, but...
And the rules say, unless you change the policies and procedures...
Right, and that's what I said, if we change that, but that's kind of what we were looking at, so the raises would fit with the budget.
Sorry.
No, it's all good.
So I'll entertain a motion to reconvene the public meeting.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
We'll entertain them.
I move that we adjourn.